Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump into our Torah portion for this week. This week, we're going to have a passage that we're going to be reading out of Numbers chapter 14. So let's go ahead and read here, starting with verse 10. It says, "Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones, but the glory of Yahweh appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the people of Israel." Now, this passage that we're reading from, we start off this Torah portion with Yahweh instructing Moses to send out 12 spies into the land. He sends out one spy from each tribe to go into the promised land. And the idea of this report was for them to come back and tell the children of Israel how great and how wonderful the land was that was promised unto them and their fathers. So he was going to give them a taste or an idea of what the goodness was like that was coming their way. And we know that when they went into the land, they come back and they speak about this big cluster of grapes that takes two men to carry the grapes back. They talk about how the land is definitely flowing with milk and honey. It is a prosperous, wonderful land. But they also mention the fact that there are giants in the land and that the cities are well walled. And so they see an obstacle. 10 of the spies do not believe that they can defeat the people of the land. So instead, they give an evil report to say that they have been brought to the wilderness to die where they are at, that they were unable to take the land. So the people of Israel choose to believe the report of the 10 instead of believing the report of the two, being Joshua and Caleb, who said, "Let us go and take up the land, for Yahweh will surely give it unto us." But they are not believed. Instead, children of Israel hold on to the bad report and choose not to want to go into the land that was promised them. So we are reading a passage here where Yahweh responds in his wrath because Israel has turned their back on him. They have rejected the promise that he has given unto them and chose to believe this evil report and thus decide that they want to go back to Egypt instead of going into the promised land that Yahweh had promised unto them. Okay, so the congregation says to stone them with stones, but the glory of Yahweh appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. So in the midst of this, the glory of Yahweh appears. Now, I want you to understand that when Yahweh appears, it is a good thing to those who are walking in his righteousness, to those who are being obedient. But to those who are not being obedient, to those who are not walking in his righteousness, his appearance is not a good thing. Because we're going to see here as we read on, his appearance is to bring judgment upon Israel for their unbelief. In verse 11, "And Yahweh said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." So here we see Yahweh's anger over the situation. What is his response? How long will they despise me? How long will they not believe in me despite all the signs that I have done for them? Okay? His anger is in the fact that they do not believe in him. If we want to please him, we need to be a people who walk in faith and believe in him, who trust in him. What does he say? I'm going to strike them. He says, I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Speaking to Moses. Now, here's a very interesting thing. Moses now stands at a spot where he can say, man, he's going to make a nation of me. Because at this point in time, this was the descendants of Abraham, right? They are known as the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not known as the children of Moses, okay? But even with this being told unto Moses, I will make you a nation that is greater. Moses, in this situation, in his humility, still says no. He says that is not what needs to occur. He actually stands up and intercedes, stands in the gap. He fights for Israel. He fights for the promise that was given unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we're going to read about that here in the next verse, in verse 13. But Moses said to Yahweh, then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land, they have heard that you, O Yahweh, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Yahweh, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them, and a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, it is because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. Moses was more concerned about Yahweh's name, about Yahweh's reputation, about what the nations were going to say about Yahweh, then he was concerned about his name. He was more concerned about Yahweh's name being made great than his own name being made great. May we learn from Moses in that. Are we able to be like Moses? Can we have a heart like Moses that is more concerned about the name of our Lord, the name of Yahweh, than we are about our own name? We're more concerned about his fame than our own fame. We're more concerned about him being made famous, him being made great, his name being lifted up, his name being proclaimed, than we are about our name being proclaimed, our name being made great. Are we more concerned about his will than our own will? Moses walked in humility, and we see that here in this verse. It takes humility to reject the idea of you being made great, of you seeking your will, you seeking your way, and instead making sure that Yahweh is made great, he is made famous, and that you are seeking his will, even at the cost of your own, being able to do it when it costs you something. So look at verse 17. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, Yahweh is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Numerous times, as we read through the Torah, as we read through the story of Moses leading Israel out of Egypt and into the land, into the wilderness, and through the precipice of going into the promised land, over and over and over again, do we read of how Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel and pled for Yahweh to forgive Israel. And here we see him doing it again, pleading for Yahweh to forgive Israel of their sin. He calls upon Yahweh and upon his character and who he is. He reminds Yahweh of who he is. You are slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Your love is unwavering. You are slow to anger. You give time for people to repent. You give time for people to turn from their evil ways, to get it right. Forgiven iniquity, forgiven sin, forgiven rebellion, forgiven people when they have not done that which was right, when they have walked in unbelief instead of belief, when they have turned their back on you and walked after the lust of their flesh instead of walking in your righteousness. You have forgiven sin. You have forgiven our trespasses. You have cleansed us of our uncleanness. Now, by no means is he clear to guilty. What he's saying is to those who have not repented, to those who do not turn from their evil ways, who have not sought his forgiveness, to those he will not clear of their guiltiness, but he gives time for them to turn from their sin. And that is what Moses is calling upon. Give time for them to turn from their sin. Have mercy upon this people. Moses sought for mercy, not judgment. Is that not what Yeshua did? Let's look at Psalms 106, verse 23. Therefore, he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Moses stood in the breach. He stood in the gap to turn Yahweh's wrath away from the sin of the nation. Now, what I want to kind of talk about here is, can we be like Moses? We live in a very dark world. We live in a very sinful, unclean, rebellious world. We see people rejecting God's word right and left all around us. We see people seeking their own ways, rejecting belief in Yeshua, desiring to walk in the ways of this world, according to the lust of their flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of their eyes. They were given into it. They were a slave unto sin and transgression. We see it all around us. We see it even in our churches and fellow believers with us. We see compromise. We see those that are not doing that which is right. The question I ask you is, are you like Moses, where you stand in the gap and you pray for these people? You intercede for these people. You pray that Yahweh would have mercy upon their soul and that their hearts would be softened, that they would turn from their evil ways. Or are you a people who are angered by their sin and seek judgment and wrath? Let's look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. So here we see two of his disciples, James and John, were furious and mad because this village in Samaria, the Samaritans, did not receive Yeshua. So in their anger and in their wrath of seeing what took place, they ask Yeshua, do you want us to call down fire? Do you want us to call down wrath, judgment upon this people because of their sin? What does Yeshua do? He rebuked them. Because Yeshua said, I did not come into the world to bring judgment, but to call those unto repentance. He came to bring mercy, to bring forgiveness into the world, not to bring judgment. Now, judgment will come on his second coming. It is coming. But he came into the world to call those into repentance. And it's the same for us. We are still in a period of time where his desire is not for judgment. His desire is for mercy. His desire is for people to turn from their evil ways. So that should be our desire when we look into the sinful world, is for them to turn from their evil ways. So our actions and our prayers should be to show mercy unto people who are walking in sin and for them to turn from their evil ways. Let's be a people who cry out for them to see mercy, for them to receive mercy, not to receive judgment, receive mercy, and receive time for them to repent and turn from their evil ways, and that their hard hearts would be made soft, that they would reject their disobedience, that they would turn from their evil ways and repent. See, we need to be a people who, when we see, it's okay to be angered by the sin in the world around us. We can have a righteous anger. But that righteous anger, the anger needs to produce righteousness. And that's what righteous anger is. It's when we allow anger to produce righteousness in us. But this anger can cause us to also produce unrighteousness and cause us to seek things that really are not in the heart of our Father, because we are zealous in our own zealousness for his law and his righteousness, instead of being zealous in his zealousness. Okay, so an example of us being zealous in our own zealousy is this desire for people to receive wrath and destruction and judgment instead of people repenting of their evil ways. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of Yahweh to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Yahweh sent his son, his only begotten son, Yeshua, to come into this world for one purpose, and that was to lay his life down for every sinner. To be as an innocent, spotless lamb, one who was without sin, one who never once transgressed the Torah, who walked perfectly in the righteousness of his father, who perfectly did the will of his father. Yet, he was counted among the sinners. He took his sin upon himself. He was beaten and crushed, yet he did not open his mouth. He willingly laid down his life for us. Yeshua's blood was shed upon that cross for our sins. He took our sin upon himself. And because of what he did upon that cross, to whomever will believe in him, their sins are forgiven. They are wiped away. And he makes intercession for the sinner. And his blood is there for anyone who will accept his offering, his atonement for their sin. That is why he came. He came so the sinner, they could repent of their sin and they could receive forgiveness of their sins. And he is making intercession even now as he is seated on the right hand of the Father. His desire is to see the lost saved, not to see the lost receive judgment. That should be our heart's desire as well. To see the lost saved, not to see judgment rain down upon the lost. So we need to be a people like Yeshua, like Moses, who is willing to stand in the gap, to make intercession, and to pray for the transgressors and the sinners in the world around us. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have disregarded my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus says the Lord Yahweh." When Yahweh has not spoken, the people of the land have practiced extortion and committed robbery. They have oppressed the poor and needy and have extorted from the sojourner without justice. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord Yahweh. So in this passage here, we see Ezekiel speaking as he's prophesying here, speaking of what's going on at this time. We see that the land of Israel has corrupted itself even to the point where the priests are even corrupted. It says that they have done violence to my law. They have attacked my law. What does it mean to do violence to his law? It's simple. It's to take war, to go at war against his law, to reject his law, to do harm, you could say, unto his law, in the fact that we don't do his law. So his priest and the people of the time were not following his Torah. They were not following his law. They were rejecting it. They were disobeying it. And they were profaning his holy things. They were not making that which was holy, holy. They were not keeping it set apart. And they profaned it by not following his Torah. It says they made no distinction between the holy and the common, between what was unclean and clean. If we stop and think about what's going on, even in the church around us today, how many of those in church have done violence to his law, who have profaned his holy things, who make no distinction between what is holy and what is common, between what is clean and what is unclean. And because of that, his wrath is burning. That definitely for sure happens within the world. The world for sure takes violence against his law. And they do not make any kind of distinction between a holy and common and between what is unclean and clean. So that problem exists in the world, but it also exists within the church, and it can also at times exist within our hearts. So we need to make sure that we are not at violence, at war with his law, even within ourselves, that we examine ourselves to make sure that we have a distinction between what is holy and common, what is unclean and clean, so that his wrath is not raging against us. But we also need to be a people who are willing to stand in the gap for those who are within the church who are walking in this transgression, within this sin, and also for the world itself. We need to be a people who are willing to stand in the gap for this people. He says in verse 30, I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach for the land, that I would not destroy it. As we read in the first passage, what Moses did, you could say he was searching for a man like Moses. He was searching for someone who would stand up in the gap when he wanted to destroy Israel in the wilderness because they did not believe in him, because they rejected him. Moses stood in the gap for them and pleaded that he would not destroy Israel. And here in Ezekiel, he's saying, I looked for a man to stand in the gap like Moses, but I found none. So therefore, I poured out my wrath upon them. Do we want it said that he poured out his wrath upon this world because he could not find somebody who would stand in the breach, in the gap for a lost and dying world? Let's check our hearts. First of all, number one, we need to search our hearts and see if there is anything that is unclean in us and get rid of those things that are unclean in us. And if we have a desire for people to receive wrath and judgment instead of them repenting, then we definitely need to search our hearts, because our hearts are not clean before him. You may think you're clean in your pride, but you're not. Because the heart of the Father is the same heart that Yeshua had when he rebuked his disciples for wanting to call down judgment upon those who rejected Yeshua. The Father's heart is like the heart of Moses, who, when he says, I will make of you a great nation and I will destroy this people, Moses stood in their gap and said, no, take in consideration your fame, your name, and what this would mean in regards to your name and your fame. He stood in the gap for Israel. Even though he was frustrated, he was angry with Israel, he still did not desire for them to be destroyed, for them to receive the judgment. He still interceded on their behalf and pleaded for them to receive mercy. May we be like Moses, who pleads and stands in the gap for a lost and dying world, that they will receive mercy and that they would repent of their evil ways. Yeshua came into the world to call the sinner unto repentance, not to bring judgment yet. Judgment's coming, but he hasn't brought judgment yet. So until that day of judgment, we need to be a people who has a heart's desire for people to receive mercy so that they would turn their hearts from their wicked ways, that they would repent, and that they would believe in Yeshua. So are we willing to be one that when Yahweh looks about in the earth and says, do I have a man out there or a woman who will stand in the breach for this lost and dying world? Will he find you standing in the breach? Will he find you crying out for mercy? Will he find you crying out for people to turn their hearts towards him? Crying out for repentance, crying out for salvation? Or will he find a people who is angry and mad and calling for his judgment? Which one are you going to be? May we be humble, and may we walk in the humility of Moses, who rejects having to be right, who rejects having to be known that we're right and proven that we're right. Because sometimes the desire for judgment is so that people will know that we're right. Instead, seek his desire, his timing, his purposes. And his purpose at this moment in time is not judgment, it's repentance. Well, I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back and join us again next week. So come back and shalom, y'all.